the KD Warriors, we thought wasn't shit moving besides them for those years. And after we come out of this legit dark age reign of terror, y'all telling me I gotta be scared of Paul fucking George now? Really? Really? Is that what we're doing? When fucking KD went to Golden State, they were Thanos. He was the final Infinity Stone. He was Thanos. And y'all telling me I gotta be scared of fucking Hawkeye now? Y'all telling me I gotta be scared of Hawkeye? Number 13 on the Clippers? A motherfucker with a crossbow? After we just got rid of Thanos?
And when I'm alone, I do drugs on my own. I told her, shawty, yeah, I bought a couple. She wanna drive top laces, never could replace me. I stand on my exes, you know that's the same thing. She just wanna hate me, I guess that's just what pain brings.
You know fucking go! Oh my god! Fuck everything! Them niggas, the fucking Clippers! Took a monumental fucking L.
What else we have
to talk about?
To the Jenkins and Jones Show, aka Slander Super Bowl, aka all Clippers content all the time,
aka 28 missed shots between the two best players on the team. You know what I'm saying?
Let's talk about
AKA
it.
AKA blow a 3-1 fucking lead. AKA it's not your fucking city, you fucking weirdo. What the fuck you talking about?
Motherfucker,
nigga thought he's gonna take him to the promised land and fucking New Balances. Fuck your New Balances, nigga. The fuck New Balances? You kidding me? Hell no, nigga. Can't believe this shit. Fucking billboards everywhere. Kawhi this, PG this, Clippers that. Fuck y'all, niggas. I couldn't even make the Western Conference Finals. We supposed to be scared of y'all, motherfuckers. Jermichael Green was the most clutch nigga on y'all fucking squad, nigga. Bums. I said N-word so many times. I just said N-word. It makes it sound worse than I said the shit.
But it was all facts. It was all facts.
It was facts. That was
the tip of the fucking iceberg. We're not even.
I was about to say, we haven't even done the whole.
Let's get into it.
We haven't done the whole intro yet. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, Dragonfly Jones, aka Tyler.
Hey, guys.
And LeJethro Jenkins, aka John.
What's up?
And I am Mike. What's
motherfucking
up?
Motherfucking Mike.
AKA you are Cardi B.
Mike. AKA
Guanabasio.
Very excited. I think in all the years that we've been doing the podcast, I don't think we've ever been hit up as many times ever to do an episode as like everyone just wants Clippers slander.
Bro, look.
Like it's, the country
it's
is
one of the great unifiers. It's one of the great unifiers. In a turbulent ass year where we don't know what's coming, the Clippers being the Clippers is a stabilizing force that unites us all right about now.
It's a sense of normalcy. You know what I mean?
There we go. Yes. It's connecting us to our past prior to this crazy, you know, 2020 we're dealing with. I mean, that's the most normal thing that's happened this year. The Clippers
blown a 3-1 lead. Yeah.
Yes. Summer was canceled. We can't go outside in California because there's ash in the sky. Everything's terrible, but I was doing the same thing I'm always doing in the Western Conference semifinals, which is watching the Clippers choke.
Bro, I can't like we really thought that PG was going to be a great addition.
Let us clarify that we. Let us please clarify that. Because I have been, you do not lump me in with y'all on this. Because I have seriously been telling, look, I was like, bro, we just came out of the KD Golden State era. When I got the news on July 4th, 2016 that Durant was a Warrior, ooh. I needed a fucking inhaler and I don't even have asthma, bro. Look, those we just came from under a legit reign of terror in the NBA.
Bro.
2016 to 2019, the KD Warriors, we thought wasn't shit moving besides them
for those years. And after we come out of this legit dark age, reign of terror, y'all telling me I gotta be scared of Paul fucking George now? Really? Really? Is that what we're doing? When fucking KD went to Golden State, they were Thanos. He was the final Infinity Stone. He was Thanos. And y'all telling me I gotta be scared of fucking Hawkeye now? Y'all telling me I gotta be scared of Hawkeye? Number 13 on the Clippers? A motherfucker with a crossbow? After we just got rid of Thanos? I told y'all I was never, ever in my life scared of a team that put this much stock in Paul fucking George. Did I not tell y'all that shit?
He said my man got a crossbow, bro. Dude, like, I this is the thing. They were obviously, well.
No, hold on, John. Yes, you did tell us that. And I fucking salute you. But, you thought they were going to get to the Western Conference Finals, though, yes?
I did. I did not expect Denver to knock them off. I'm going to – complete transparency, honesty here. But I knew the Lakers were going to smack them the fuck up if they met. I was never scared for
I'd rather have played the Clippers now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I see what the Clippers look like.
I feel like we get
not go too far. No. I wouldn't say that. But you were right. We shouldn't have been scared of them, but they were the best team in the league on paper. On paper.
I like I've said before, I have never put the stock that so many people seem to put in Paul George in him from my perspective. I look at it like this. I have said this. Paul George, his market value being, you know, an elite two-way guy, his market value gets him tier one pursuit, tier one opportunities, tier one money. But he's a tier two fucking talent.
He was second runner-up for MVP last year, bro.
But when you say the best team on paper, the All NBA awards just came out today. The Lakers have two All NBA first teamers, which happens about once every 6 or 7 years.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? That's
like 13 years. Last time this happened was Nash and Amari in 2017.
There's 12 players on the team, and once you get past those two, the Clippers have really good players.
I agree with you, but there's only five players on the court at a time, and if 40% of your starting roster is
roster, when you go AD, that's 25% of your team. You know what I'm saying? And what's your boy's name? Williams. What the fuck am I talking about? Like. He got caught eating chicken wings and fucking
Lou Will.
You know, Lou Will was what? Best off the bench, sixth man of the year for what? How many years? Montrez is a fucking dog. He's sixth man of the year this year. You know what I'm saying? They got like, I mean, I'm not scared of Zubac. You know what I mean? But they got Kawhi, who was supposed to be his league this year. They had the third runner up, the second runner up for MVP that year. Like, on paper, they look great. That's not the game.
Everyone's heard all the stats, the 0 points in the fourth quarter for Kawhi and PG, the, what was it, like 2 of 18 second half performance from those dudes. Like, we don't need to run through all the stats. I know everyone's already seen all day, but I have to say I was shocked by the Kawhi Leonard shit.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I was not surprised with the way things have gone by Paul George and stuff, but Kawhi has been a killer even in these playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, down four, he hits a big three every time with a minute left or whatever. But, like, he looked like he wanted to get the fuck out of there too.
This was his worst game of the playoffs, I believe. I think, like, maybe 90% of the games he played in the playoffs, 80% of the game he played in the playoffs, he scored more than 30 points. If you look at his stat sheet, 36, 35, 30. I mean, it's basically guaranteed 30 ball every night. So, I think one game – in the first round, he didn't score 30, and he got 14? Was it 14 or was it 12? Oh, for everything in the fucking fourth, and then they come with the tired shit. Y'all have rested more motherfuckers than any team in
that
the league.
Load management shit.
Y'all the most load management is fucking team ever. All right. And then y'all get to go against a team that already had a 7-game series before y'all. And y'all want to say you're tired? Everybody's tired.
What the fuck are you talking about?
And they have the nerve to say, you know, we didn't have the chemistry yet. Like, the Lakers are not rolling out there with Frank Vogel with a new
the Lakers
pairing.
Making this shit work with 35. The Lakers making this shit work with 35-year-old Rondo, bro. I don't want to hear shit about chemistry, man.
The Lakers really made this shit work with LeBron full-time being a ball handler.
Point guard. Point guard, bro. Being the one. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, but I will say this. One thing you can tell about the Lakers, they like each other. When it comes to chemistry, you know what I'm saying? I can see them hanging together off the court. I think Montrez and Lou Will are the only two people that like each other on the Clippers.
Doc, did you
see the report? You can see looking report? At PG. You see Kawhi looking at him at the end of the game?
Yeah. Did you see the report that came out about the Montrez PG little blow up?
The Chris Haynes story.
Yeah.
And Montrez, look, and people are like, oh man, this is just regular, you know, stuff that happens on the bench. Bro, Montrez told that dude, well, we can't tell you shit because you're never fucking wrong. That is not some cuff of the moment, spur of the moment shit. That's some shit that's been festering when you go there. When you go, can't nobody tell you shit, Ralph? That's some shit you be want to get off your chest for a minute, though.
That's what your lady tell you when you're on the game.
Right.
You're like, never. I'm like, oh, you know what I'm saying? That's what you know. You gotta take a step back and think about some shit you're making, bro. You feel me? Like he was that Lou Will was tired. He was tired, and it wasn't physical, my G. You know what I mean?
Well, let me. So we've talked about the issues with some of the players, but. Doc Rivers, a widely respected
fucking out of there,
guy. Bro. No, he's not out of there. Steve Ballmer already said he's keeping him.
What? they love
Sounds
the project.
Good to me.
They love the project.
Doc Rivers, this is the fifth time in seven seasons with the Clippers that Doc Rivers has lost a playoff matchup after holding a series lead.
Ooh. Did you see him looking into the abyss? At the fucking end of the game, like he was blown away by the moment. He had no idea what to do.
It's his like third he lost time. It's his third time losing a 3-1 lead. So I don't know why he looked like he wasn't experienced with it.
Yeah, you've been there.
He ain't lost it with these boys though. He had all the horses he needed this time, dog, and he still couldn't get him where he needed him to go. You know what I mean? Kawhi Leonard didn't show up. What? Kawhi was ready to get away from it. Like, that's wild. You know what I mean? Like, and then the best three defensive guards in the league and a nigga from Canada puts 36 on y'all. Y'all taking turns getting cooked. You know what I'm saying?
Murray, best perimeter defense. Right. Huh? Best perimeter defense since yada, 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 yada.
Right? Buckets. We're gotten on all of y'all. You know what I'm saying? Crazy. I bro, like, I still, like, yes, the Clippers are the Clippers, all this other shit. I still can't believe it's happened.
When did you think in the game, oh shit, the Nuggets are actually gonna win?
Minute and a half left when they were up 18. That's when I was like, oh, this is really gonna happen.
Oh, no, I was
with 13. I'm like, they might blow this.
When it was like a 56-52 half or whatever, I was like, hold on a minute, man. That's when I was – because, like I told y'all, I was never scared of the Clippers, bro. Never. Listen, like, let's go back to the fucking genesis of when this shit all crumbled for them. They pissed off Paul Millsap. That's where they went wrong here. They pissed off Paul Millsap. They unleashed the wrath of Paul fucking Millsap and blew a 16-point lead because he had a 14-point – third quarter, you unleash the wrath of Paul Millsap and blow a 3-1 lead after that. That's who the Clippers fucking are. I told you when that shit happened. I said, how are y'all scared of this team that is getting done in by Paul fucking Millsap? Did I
have not been scared since Paul Millsap turned into the fucking Incredible Hulk. Okay. I have not been scared, but I'm still surprised that they lost. And I just want to say this as a Lakers fan. Never in my life have I given a fuck about the Clippers before. I've never rooted against them. I've never had anything I would describe as an emotion. It was just the Clippers, bro. I went to a ton of Clippers games as a kid. We've talked about this. The tickets were $5 at fucking Ralph's. I saw Charles Barkley. I saw Michael Jordan. I saw Scottie Pippen. We were Lakers fans. We could never afford to go to a Lakers game. So I never had a problem with the Clippers, man. That was like the kid down the street, whatever. It's all good. He's not competing for the girl you're competing for. You know what I mean? It's all good. He's just here. But this year.
Playing the tuba and shit.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The hot dog, you feel me? Like,
your little buddy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Smelling like hot water. You feel me?
This year, this is his city. The you know, street lights not stopping, you know, not spotlight, like all the shit. Fuck you, dude. Like, you know, you wanted to be in the arena. You wanted to be a real franchise. You've never been to the Western Conference Finals once. Not once. That's fucking crazy. The Lakers, every Lakers fan feels like the last 10 years has been the most trash thing we've ever gone through. And we're still already obviously back in the Western Conference Finals, bro. Like, give me a fucking break. I said it on Twitter. The craziest shit to me, they're going to get killed for blowing a 3-1 lead forever. It's the biggest collapse this year. And it's the best season in the history of the franchise. This is the high water mark. If you
it don't get no better than this.
They better put the banner up. Better than this. They put the banner up. 7-game series in the semifinals.
What the fuck? Like, think about that. If you were at opening day for the Clippers, this is it's never ended better than this.
Bro, something that has been killing me since that game is the post-game interview that Jokic had, where he said, "We knew this was something we could get through." I was like, bro, he's not even talking about these dudes like they're a team. I'm like, he is talking about these dudes like they're an obstacle. They're a life lesson. And that's what the Clippers exist more metaphorically. Yeah, the Clippers exist more metaphorically than they exist in reality. Like, if I tell me the first thing that comes to your mind when I say Clippers, you're going to say ineptitude, failure, incompetency. Then you'll say basketball, right? Right? You know what I'm saying? The Clippers are the embodiment of failure so much that they exist more metaphorically than they do in reality, bro. They are something that you have to overcome within yourself.
They're passing away into legend.
Right, like, yeah, like
elves.
Like the true Clippers are the obstacles you overcome within yourself and the friends you make along the way and shit. Like, they're like a fucking after school special, bro. They're not even a real fucking team, first and foremost. They are a fucking thought. They are a fucking philosophy. Like, Jokic wasn't worried about losing to the Clippers. He was worried about failure, because that's what the Clippers are. They're failure. If you lose to the Clippers, you experience failure. You didn't experience a loss.
He said the Clippers are the jealous third person in your coming of age romance young adult novel. You know what I mean?
Right, they're that fucking guy.
Someone on your Twitter called him an Act Two ass team, which was like, yeah.
bro. Someone on Twitter said the Clippers are the weapon formed against you that will never prosper. Like, these motherfuckers are a team building exercise. They're a life lesson. They're not even a real franchise, dude.
They're the rope ladder at the corporate retreat, bro.
But they're a trust fall. Any NBA team that wants to be a legit contender in the West, you got to do the Clippers trust fall. You know, you're going to go up 3-1, and you're going to think you're going to fucking fall on your head. But no, we're going to catch you, and we're going to fucking advance past the Clippers.
Should we read some of these emails?
Let's do it.
All right, so we put out there to shoot us an email at jenkinsandjones@gmail.com for people who just wanted to join in, you know, who wanted to come sit around the fire with us.
It's a joyous occasion, you know what I mean? Let's celebrate together as one. Yeah, you know?
Let me just say, you know, you guys are fucking mean, man. Like, these emails are mean, bro.
All the shit they was talking on, they deserve all of it.
Oh, no.
All of it, bro.
Wow. So, hey, look, we had, like, literally more than 100 people emailed in. We really appreciated it. That's crazy. I don't think we've ever had that many emails for a show. So we're not going to be able to read anywhere near all of them. Thank you so much to everyone who emailed in, though, especially the people on our Patreon. We really appreciate you guys. I'm going to go through them pretty quick. Rommel Page, you know, there's a lot of nicknames for Paul George, but I hadn't seen this one. He said he wants a nickname to stick is PG 13%.
God damn. Let's look. I feel like I'm still not done on this whole Paul George shit, because I can't believe y'all scared of this motherfucker. But I'm gonna tell you why. Another reason why I was never scared of PG. I am not afraid of teams whose number two option cannot be a number one when needed, right? And I feel like Paul George is the prototypical one of those dudes. Like dog, Kawhi went 1-for-11 in the second half. What do you think fucking 2011 Wade is going to do if Bron's struggling like that? What do you think 2000 Kobe is going to do if Shaq is struggling like that? What do you think 2016 Klay is going to do if Steph is struggling like that? And I don't think PG got that shit in him, dog. Like, I am not afraid. I've never been afraid of him at all to take a game over and throw the team on his back. And I can't believe y'all scared of that dude. But I'm want to leave, you know, way off P alone here now. That's all I had to say about that.
This is a thing.
I like way off P, and I like playoff PP also. Playoff PP.
Playoff PP. Playoff Paddington.
Kawhi is so good that I never thought that PG would have to be the one.
Would need to. I get that.
But he was always number two. And he was still not good at that. He never really had to be. I mean, what yesterday would have been an opportunity to do it. And we saw what happened when they needed big shots. Flap off the side of the fucking backboard. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? But I didn't think he would ever have to be a number one. And he really didn't have to be. And he didn't even play that role well. It's just.
It's pretty crazy. Our next email is from NCL, who says, watching Way Off P hit the side of the backboard last night made me think about other all-time atrocious playoff performances. And I have a question. Was George Paul more terrible than Harrison Barnes during the Warriors' first finals run because he was first team all-boo-boo in 2015? I think, I mean, just because of the expectations, I think Paul George shit is worse, obviously.
No doubt. I mean, like, Harrison Barnes, what, the fourth best player on that team?
I will hear a Livingston over Harrison Barnes take. I'll hear that out. But you know, Harrison Barnes was never that guy. Paul George, they gave up the future for this motherfucker. They're not
Patrick Beverly walked up to LeBron James to gangbang on him in Las Vegas because they signed Paul George, bro. You know what I'm saying? No one did that shit about Harrison Barnes. Like, it's fucking over for you, bro.
Okay.
Billboards. Harrison Barnes, we forget he was on that team. You know what I mean? Never a Warrior. You know what I mean?
Like, NCL also wanted to know if these, because they could opt out next year. I don't think they're going to do that. But he said, if they do opt out and walk next year, does this end up being the most lopsided trade in NBA history?
Yeah.
How many first rounders out of it? Yeah, how many first rounders did they give up, bro?
I think the stipulation shit and all that shit, but I think they don't have an untouched first rounder until 2026.
Yeah.
Vincent is gonna really have getting to soak in another several years of Clippers performances before they get another first round pick. Charlie T. Johnson says, just wanted to point out, Doc Rivers has now blown a 3-1 lead when George W. Bush was president, when Obama was president, and now with Trump as president.
Very good at being fucking terrible. So good. Thank God for that.
Okay.
Bro, like I said this last night when people were like, you know, I don't want to hear any, they're out to get the black guy when Doc Rivers gets fired. I was like, bro, the job security that Doc Rivers has, that's what we're shooting for here. That's what we're fighting for here, dog. Like, it's not equality if black excellence has to exist alongside white mediocrity. You know, it's equality when black mediocrity exists alongside white mediocrity. You know what I'm saying?
He won a chip. But ever since then.
But the
Bibbs won that chick, dog.
I believe the phrase, Bomani was talking about this, and I love it. It's the room to fail. What I'm saying? And that's the benchmark. Like, that's what that's the most important thing. Can you get jobs when, you know, can you skip the line the way Steve Nash did if you're Chauncey Billups? And then if you fuck around and the first two seasons don't work out the way that they wanted it to, do they fire you? You know what I mean? And then bring in Luke fucking Walton or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, email exactly from PK Krenstel says, I'm calling them the Los Angeles Cappers until further notice. What a
fucking organization.
He said, this is what happens when you trade your future for Jungle Fever Jimmer Fredette.
Go on, dog. Wow. I'm more offended by the Jimmer Fredette comparison than anything, to be honest with you. Come on. Well, PG ain't that fucking bad, bro. Like, and I'm hard as fuck on PG, but Jimmer for that? Come on, dog.
He said they're a two-pack of ass and maybe the fourth best professional basketball team in California come next season. No more talk about them. LeBron and six. Y'all be safe.
God damn.
Yeah, that was mean. Okay, so I'm not even reading the really mean ones. People were very personal.
Sports fans are assholes, man.
They are assholes. Samuel Bundick wanted to write in and specifically say, it's too easy to clown Kawhi and PG. I want to go at Steve Ballmer, the billionaire moron. He's literally done nothing for this team. Brought in a dude who already wanted to come there. You don't get any points for that. He had the whole world thinking he was going to dethrone the Lakers in LA. He said, it took me months to see what he was doing. It's old ass tech. He wanted to build a new stadium in the most overcrowded wealth gap, not functioning for anyone but the rich ass area. The world does not need another James Dolan, and that's what he wants to be.
God damn. Wow. Y'all call him motherfuckers Jim Fredette and James Dolan. God damn.
Wilson Ramirez says, Glenn Rivers gleefully traded for the man who cheated on his daughter, and they deserve everything they got since then.
Oh, wow.
Bro, when Seth Curry called him a bitch ass that time, that shit had nothing to do with basketball. No. PG wasn't even in that fucking play, dog. He was just around.
Say a thing. We should have known then.
Yeah, PG ain't do shit. He was just around, and Seth just had some shit he wanted to say to that motherfucker, dog.
All right, Braden writes in, and this is exactly how I've been feeling about it. He said, every day in LA, I see these goddamn billboards that say streetlights over spotlights. It used to piss me off because of how bold it was, but now it's been genuinely hilarious to me. The park I hoop at has Clipper stickers on it because they paid for it or whatever, and now I'm going to have to hold back laughter at the court. Not only are these Clippers frauds, but there are signs all over the city to remind people.
Oh, man.
He bought up all those billboards. I've seen more Clippers billboards than Lakers billboards. You know what I'm saying?
100%. I told you guys, they sponsored all the youth leagues in Southern California, too. Like, Vincent came home from the YMCA league with a fucking Clippers backpack and a Clippers uniform, bro. And I had to, sit him down, dude.
Like, this is not the way. You had to sit him down like you found some weed in his book bag or some shit. Like, what path are you heading down here, son?
Like, you have to wear this, but I want you to feel bad every time you put it on. You know what I mean?
I'm about all of them, gym equipment and shit during the pandemic to stay in shape and all that, just for them to complain and complain about being tired then. It's fucking ridiculous, bro.
It's like the old saying goes, when have you ever seen a Lamborghini commercial? The top product doesn't need to sell itself. So you're not going to see Lakers billboards up because they're the fucking Lakers.
The Lakers, bro. We don't need to put our billboard up. There's fucking stickers on everyone's cars.
Yeah.
Okay. Alex C says, funniest nights on NBA Twitter in some order. 2016 Finals Game 7.
Oh, that's number one forever and always.
Absolutely. Clippers holding DeAndre Jordan hostage.
That was fucking hilarious.
I feel like this.
I feel like last night is the number two right now.
It's number two, bro.
Unless I got my memory jogged a bit here.
DeAndre Jordan getting held hostage at the end of free agency.
I'll put that three. When Blake twit picked that chair, locked the door. That is an all time tweet, bro.
CP3 leading the Rockets players to the Clippers locker room.
The underground tunnels and all that.
Oh, that was a good one, John.
That was a good one. I'd say it's like eight. You know what I mean?
I would say this. The Charles Barkley Shaq exchange after that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen on television, for sure. And then he didn't have this on here, but I'm going to throw in Temecula. Temecula's number one to me over everything forever.
I'll never forget it. Like, I had left my aunt, Christmas dinner, and I come back to my crib, and I'm tweeting, motherfuckers want to fight behind Kobe in real life. It was so wild, though. Yeah.
And it was somebody we knew.
Yeah, it was fucking
We knew snotty. The other dude. Yeah. We were like, so bro, he could have pulled up over Kobe, but it made it to ESPN. That's the most Twitterish shit ever. Like, they were talking about that on the major networks, you know what I mean? Which is crazy.
So like
that's up there.
Yeah, on some all jokes aside shit, when Kobe passed, I was like, bro, can we get this dude to comment on it? I legitimately wanted to hear something from that dude at that moment. Like, real shit.
Okay, Steve emailed in to tell a story about some torture. This one's a little bit longer, but I have to read this. This is a Southern California story, if I can ever remember one. He said, first Clipper game I remember going to, my uncle bought me a jersey. He said, Lamar Odom or Darius Miles?
Darius Miles and Lamar Odom were some fire ass.
Those were fun teams. I used to root for the Clippers on some, like, this is great that they've got players. You know what I mean? So he said,
were terrible those years.
Huh?
They were terrible those years.
They were fun, though.
They were fun as hell.
But, yeah, they were terrible.
Yeah.
So he said, he picked the Odom one. He said, I've never been so upset to be right about something. D. Miles is most famous for an SAT movie, and Odom won multiple rings in L.A., just not with the Clippers. That right there is the purest Clipper fan experience ever. Either irrelevancy or fortune elsewhere. There is no middle ground. I don't know why I keep doing this shit to myself. And he said, hold on, this is the twist. He said, my uncle is a Lakers fan, by the way, and I know he did this shit on purpose. Longest con. I used to think it was because we were poor and the tickets were cheap. Nope. He just threw himself an off-the-backboard alley-oop he could spend the next forever using to dunk on my ass. Science.
That's an all-time uncle move, man. Put that dude in the Uncle Hall of Fame.
Right.
Uncles who are dedicated to the long game of clowning you are the best uncles, bro.
L.A. Sabri says, Paul George is the LeBron James of Chris Middleton's.
Why is that so perfect?
What?
Seriously. And that is perfect because he is the epitome of a player who is really good but won't get you over the hump. And that's perfect right there, dog. The LeBron James or Chris Middleton's, yeah.
I am in awe of how good that is, bro.
That is phenomenal.
Right.
That's the best one-liner we got.
He's the best, most talented player that will not get you off the hump when you need him to.
Other people sent in memes. Someone did, I believe we referred to the Clippers as an unserious franchise on this podcast. George parody with Paul George's face that says, unserious George. Blake Jackson says, okay, yes, the Clippers were out here looking foul. Can we please show some love to the Nuggets? 2-3-1 comebacks back to back. Come on now. We've officially shown love to the Nuggets.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Looking to whip your ass next
week. Right, can't wait to thrash y'all boys. You kidding me?
Charlie says, it's my belief the Clippers should now be forced to move, probably to Seattle, for the season long disrespect. And he said, if I were Adam Silver, I would personally require Paul George to start in the G League and have to maintain certain statistical benchmarks if he wants to touch an NBA court again.
Bro, I feel like Seattle's such a great basketball city that sending them the Clippers would be shitting on them. Like, the Clippers need to go to, like, Des Moines, Iowa or some shit, bro. Or like, fucking Maine or something. Seattle deserves so much better than the Clippers. Yeah.
My favorite subplot of last night after the loss was people trying to send – it's like, you know, when people were doing that, when the race draft was like a big like thing on Twitter and people would like try and send Justin Timberlake or whatever, and then, you know, people would debate over who they wanted to like join their side or whatever. People kept saying like, send the Clippers to blank, and wherever blank was, someone would immediately respond like, we do not want the fucking Clippers. Like I said, I tweeted, you don't deserve to be in Inglewood. Send these dudes to Albuquerque. And immediately someone was like, what do you have against Albuquerque? This dude responded to me immediately. It was like, it's all Lakers fans in Albuquerque, bro. We do not want the Clippers.
Fucking Albuquerque. Y'all can't even go to the Bugs Bunny towns, dog. Like, that's how much of a joke y'all are.
This is our last email, okay? And this is a different level, bro. Okay. The subject line is, got cheated on last month, and I care 1,000 times less now that the Clippers lost. This is from, I feel like I should not read the name of this person.
No, definitely not.
It says, This has been a but thank you for writing it. He said, this has been a horrible, abysmal year for me. Kobe's death in January scarred me deeply, and I'm still not over it. I never will be. We definitely feel you on this podcast, bro. Mm-hmm. So then I found out I got cheated on last month. Broke up with her, kicked her out of the apartment, effectively doubling my rent. All of that on top of hearing that we're going to lose in November because Trump brought back Big Ten football. It's been a hard year. But y'all know what? When the Clippers lost last night, I felt like I was 12 years old again. LA felt like it was summer 2000 again. All was right. And I woke up today realizing, dog, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make it. It's the little things and the big Clippers collapses that make life worth living.
I want to ask this question. Wow. You were cheated on during a pandemic? Like, she risking COVID to get outside dick? Damn, my boy. That's a difference.
That's pain, bro. That's genuine pain right there.
I'm gonna have to sit and think about that. You know what I mean? Like,
but like,
that's a different type.
And that, hey, right. That's what we talk about with sports fans on the show, bro. That dude needed the Clippers to lose last night,
bro.
I feel like if you're willing to cheat in the face of COVID, I feel like she was either like the best time this dude ever had or like the worst time this dude ever had. I feel like there's no middle ground with her. I think she was both.
I think like that person that's cheating during COVID is guaranteed fun and guaranteed crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you willing to risk all that? I ain't, but like, whew.
All right, I believe. Do we have any other Clippers takes? That's the email selection. I'm about Clippered out, man. But I would say that is the most fun. That is probably like the purest happiness I've had, honestly, in longer than I would care to admit, bro.
2016 was I felt like a child.
Yeah.
This was like this. I mean, yes, I felt. Like this was, I didn't believe, like, I couldn't believe, like, that they fucking lost. I still can't believe that shit. How did they blow this shit, bro? How? I'm saying,
I'll tell you how they blew it. Three games in a fucking row. That's how they blew it.
My youngin' pop somebody, felt bad, I had to read about it. Last time I spoke to him, he said he needed guidance. I be thinking about shit way more than I speak about it. Bro say ride with the beam on you, cause these streets is cloudy. Blessed up like I got the deacon around me. You sold for the money, that's an evil bounty. Came a long way from the Suffolk County days. Mud on the plate, I had to eat around it. Know how I be, just gotta see to find me. I be missing home, just gotta keep climbing. I ain't going back, swiping in to keep declining. Make a plus out of minus, gotta be somebody. Keep supplying. Ain't none of us worried about the feature prices. Still popping out foreign, you can keep the license. Trying to keep it like that, so we keep it silent. Keep it silent. When it goes down, you can keep the profits. Now we got a whole piece, cause we peeped the violence. Now we got a total piece, cause we peeped the violence. My youngin' pop somebody, felt bad, I had to read about it. Last time I spoke to him, he said he needed guidance. I be thinking about shit way more than I speak about it. Bro say ride with the beam on you, cause the streets is cloudy. My youngin' pop somebody, felt bad, I had to read about it. Last time I spoke to him, he said he needed guidance. I be thinking about shit way more than I speak about it. Bro say ride with the beam on you, cause the streets is cloudy. Shit ain't getting no easier. Rap gang getting more cheesier. Feeling out of place when I be with her. In my way out of this league of her. Got my bag up and got freezier. Purple got my lungs all wheezier. Purple force got me all linear. Kicking down, don't nobody feeding us. I was raised, ain't nobody beating us. So tell me why I feel like niggas cheating us. If I can't get a miller for like each of us, then is it really worth it what I'm reaching for? Tuck close, what you reaching for? You know everything got a reason for it, so I don't question anything.